This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Dear Ikhwani, time and time again we mention, Wallahi Ikhwani, we always say if you don't learn yourself, you don't know the basis of your religion. What I've seen time and time again in conferences, you know what the parents do? They get the kids and they come and they dump them inside the conferences. The kids are there by themselves. One of them is doing this, one of them is doing that. This guy is running out, he's running in. If the parent himself, he doesn't become a qudwa. He doesn't become what? A qudwa. An example for his child. How does he expect the child to learn? Or if he doesn't learn himself, you're thinking not just about yourself. You're thinking about generation by the generation. If you don't know, how do you expect them to know? And let's not lie to ourselves, wallahi, 10 hours of the day, they're not with you. Don't make yourself feel good, mashallah, yani, 2 hours of the day you send them to madrasa, huh? 10 hours or 8, 9 hours, they're with who? The kuffar. They're giving them da'wah. You're not giving them da'wah. Ala kullin, you have the ujurun jariya, that in your grave it is carry on. Man da'a ila al-huda kana lahu ajra mithla man tabi'a la yanqusu dhalika min ujurihi shay'a. Every person that you guide, and everyone that follows him upon that guidance, you get the reward even when you die. Ujurun jariya. طيب أما ترضى أن تكون مني بمنزلة هارون من موسى إلا أنه لا نبوة بعدي. One time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to leave Ali radiallahu anhu behind, and pay attention to this. Ali said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خلفتني مع النساء والصبيان. You left me behind with the women and the kids. You left me behind with the women and the kids. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Ama tarda? Are you not pleased and satisfied with me leaving you behind? And you are like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Harun. You know how Harun alayhi salatu wasalam was with Musa? He was the number two. He was the number two. So the Prophet is saying to him, do you not want to be in the same position as Harun was with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Illa annahu la nubuwwata ba'di, except that there is no messenger after me or a prophet after me. Ali radiallahu anhu, na'am. Tayyib. The Shi'as love this. The Shi'as, they love this. When I was leaving Yemen, one of the things that I saw, they were sticking on their mataris. Some of the, because you know they live on the roads, isn't it? They're like bandits that live on the roads. If they want, they'll rob the whole car, they'll take everything out, and if they want, they let you go. So every time you go to Damaj, you have the risk of something happening to you. That's why when I went to Damaj, I would not leave. I wouldn't dare leave. I wouldn't Yani not because of them, but rather like, you don't want the chance to get cut from the ilm that's going on. You don't want to sit in Sana'a, do what? Na'am? So they would have stickers on there of this hadith. As in, Ali radiallahu anhu, he deserved the khilafah more than anyone else. Abu Bakr came and he was treacherous and he was oppressor and he took the khilafah by force because of this narration. So how do we answer it? I mentioned this the last time as well. جيد. نعم. ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله تعالى, he mentions, نعم, in his فتح الباري, in his فتح الباري, طيب, that هارون عليه الصلاة والسلام لم يكن خليفة موسى إلا في حياته. He wasn't his خليفة. He wasn't his successor except in what? His lifetime. لا بعد موته لأنه مات قبل موسى باتفاق. And he wasn't his successor or his خليفة after his death, Because what? Harun alayhi salatu wasalam died before Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And there's a unanimous agreement that Harun died before Musa. So he was only his successor when? In his lifetime. He was there as a number two. And it doesn't necessarily necessitate that if you're the number two in a person's lifetime, that you're going to be his number two after his death. It's not something that is wajib. You can change any time. Naam. So, in his lifetime, he said to him, you can be in the same position as Harun was with Musa by me leaving you behind. Because there was also a time that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he left who behind? Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. So we can also say that it is in the same bracket as the time when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam left behind Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. When he left him behind and the people that were with him, they started committing shirk again. لا تأخذ بلحيتي ولا أن موسى عليه السلام came and he was angry. So Harun said to him, don't take me by the beard. لا تأخذ بلحيتي ولا أن أصب my head. It's like a saying that they have. Don't, you know, يعني blame me for what's taking place and things like that. إني خشيت أن تقول فرقت بين بني إسرائيل ولم ترقب قولي. I feared that if you was to come back and I would have done anything to them or said anything to them, that you would say to me, you have now split the children of Israel. Naam. So, يعني at that time, you find that Harun alayhi salatu wasalam was left behind by Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Naam. So, Ali radiallahu anhu was someone that was blessed and we love him. And then you have the Asharat Mubashirin. Brothers, memorize this. Brothers, memorize this inshallah ta'ala. Number five is who? That is mentioned in the hadith. Talha ibn Ubaidillah, the great Sahabi Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and he was from those that became Muslim at an early time. Number six, Zubair ibn Awam, who was the father of who? Abdullah ibn Zubair. Awam. Zubair ibn Awam. Number seven, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Number eight, Amir ibn Abdullah. Ibn Auf. Number eight, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Number seven, naam. Five, six, seven, eight. I'm on eight.
What's number eight?
No, okay, طيب. Number five is Talha. Number six is Zubair ibn Awam. Number seven is Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Number eight is Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah, and his real and his name is Abdurrahman ibn Auf.
What's number eight?
طيب. His kunya is Abu Ubaidah. Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Sorry. Let me repeat that again. طيب. Number five is Talha. Number six is Zubair ibn Awam. Number seven, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Number eight, Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah. Write that down. Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah. That's his kunya. That's what he is known for. Abu Ubaidah. Ibn al-Jarrah. And his name is Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah. We're still on number eight. Abdurrahman ibn Awfin.
So they're not the same people, are they?
Huh?
They're not the same people.
No.
They just have the same name.
Ikhwan, you know, I'm getting confused now. Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah, sorry, is Amir ibn Abdullah. Amir ibn Abdullah. His kunya was Abu Ubaidah, and his name is Amir ibn Abdullah. Sorry for you having the scribble in it. You know when you look at something and when you know something. So Amir ibn Abdullah ibn Jarrah ibn Hilal ibn Huwayb. But just write down Amir ibn Abdullah. Number 9, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Allahumma astajib li Sa'd idha da'ak. Huh? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Huh? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, na'am. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, yeah. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, I think, yeah. Yeah, just getting mixed now. Now I'll check that for you. Now, I think it's Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, or one of them, one of the two. But I'll check for you, inshallah.
I'm sure it's Sa'd ibn Abu Waqas, because when we went to Lamia.
I'll check in it anyways, inshallah. I'll check anyway. Yeah?
What did you say in the book?
The hadith I was mentioning now, the hadith I was mentioning now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and this is just like a fadl, a virtue for him. Allahumma stajib li Sa'd idha da'ak. O Allah, reply back to and give whatever Sa'd asks you when he makes dua to you. Number 10, yeah? Are you not sure? Sa'id ibn Zaydin, also known as Abu al-A'war. Huh? Sa'id ibn Zayd is his name. Abu al-A'war is his kunya. The kunya always has or Abu. Huh? Abu al-A'war. Sa'id ibn Zaydin. Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id ibn Zayd, na'am. And he was the one that narrated the hadith. He is the one that was narrated by the hadith. It's called the famous hadith of Sa'id ibn Zayd that was narrated by Imam Tirmidhi. So when he mentioned the 9, the people went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said to him, نَنْشُدَكَ اللَّهِ يَا أَبَا الْأَعْوَرِ مِنَ الْعَاشِرِ. We ask you by Allah, Ya Rasulullah, that Abu al-A'war is the 10th one. And he's the one that was narrating the hadith. Na'am. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nashattumuni Abu al-A'war min al-Ashir. Is that clear? So you have now the 4 that are the best after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the 4 best companions. Then you have the other 6. Huh? This is all bit-ta'een. Bit-ta'een, يعني by name or independently. Then as a whole, you have the muhajirun who are the best of them. You have the muhajirun who are the best of them. Those that what made hijrah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this happened in 2 occasions. The first occasion was when they went to what? When they made hijrah to what? I mentioned this before as well. To Abyssinia. When they made hijrah to Abyssinia, with them was 12 men and also 4 of the women. And from the men was Uthman ibn Affan, and from the women was the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was married to Uthman. What was her name? Ruqayyah, Jayyid. Bintu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after that, when they went and they lived in Abyssinia in the best possible way, the second phase took place. Na'am. Of those that went to Abyssinia to make hijrah. طيب. Then you have the hijrah to Thania. That's the first one. The first one is split into 2. The first phase, when 12 men and 4 women went. And then the second time, na'am, when there was 83 of the Sahaba that went, and 18 of the women that went. 83 and also 18 of the women. That was in the second phase, when they went to Abyssinia. Then you have the second type of hijrah took place. That is the hijrah from Mecca to Al-Medina. They are called the Muhajirin. So you have the Muhajirun who are the best. As a whole, the most virtuous are the Muhajirun. Then you have the Ansar. ثم بعد ذلك أهل بدر. Then after that, are those that participate in Al-Badr. Who's teaching the lesson next week? Inni, minni, maini, last time. Muhajirin and then the Ansar. The Ansar are those that helped the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after he went to Al-Medina.
So people were Abyssinia, the last group.
The Muhajirun, the hijrah is of two types. When the Sahabas, they made hijrah to Abyssinia, and when they made hijrah to Al-Medina. Muhajirun, then the Ansar, then the Ahl al-Badr, those that took part in Al-Badr.
Who is better, those that both the Hijrah and then those who did one?
Sorry?
Who's better, even in Muhajirun, those that did both and then those that did one?
It necessitates everybody that did the Hijrah to Abyssinia, they went to done Hijrah as well. So you mean like those that didn't go to Abyssinia? Naam, without a doubt, those that went hijrah to Abyssinia and they done the other one as well, they did two kinds of hijrah.
So how many men did you say went to Medina?
No, to Mecca, to Abyssinia.
To Abyssinia.
To Abyssinia. The first time, it was 12 men.
And 4 women.
And 4 women, naam. And the second time was 83 men and 18 women. 83 men and 18 women. Talha ibn Ubayd Allahu A'lam. I don't know much in detail about exactly who, which Sahabi went. Na'am, but from the most famous amongst them that went was Uthman and likewise his wife. Yeah?
Ja'far.
Na'am, and Ja'far.
Was he the one who had a conversation with the king?
That was what's it called? Ammar.
Yeah, Ammar and.
Ammar and Ja'far. Yeah. Radiallahu anhu. The one that narrated the long hadith of that was Jabir. That was Jabir. Jabir radiallahu anhu. Yeah. Ja'far is different from Jabir. No, I thought it was Naam.
Ja'far ibn Abi Talib.
Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, yeah. You got what?
I got confused between him and Talha.
It's a big topic. Learning every Sahabi, what he did and this, what I mean. There's so many of the Sahaba. You got a compilation of Imam Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, a kitab called Al-Isaba. Kitab called Al-Isaba, where you find the biography of every single Sahaba. What his name was, what his kunya was, what he was known for, what he did. Naam. It's like maybe I think 28 volumes that I bought, but it's lying down in Saudi. I've got like $500 worth of books that are lying in Saudi that may Allah make it easy for it to come. I mean, yeah. Huh? No. I bought them. My grandma-in-law, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward her, she gave me some allowance. I didn't see that money. I was like, send it there. Huh? To buy books, you know, and I bought the books, but it's still stuck in one of my in-laws house. Like obviously you need someone to bring it in it.
FedEx.
Huh? It's quite expensive. One time I sent my passport from Yemen to Britain. I think it cost like £50 for a passport.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
It's a passport, isn't it? And it's just something that, imagine like at least 100 volumes of books that we should do a fundraising, innit? Allah Ustaz. So you have the Muhajirin, the Ansar, then also what? Those that took part in the Battle of Badr. Then Bay'at al-Ridwan, those that gave Bay'at to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under the tree. Then those that became Muslim before the conquest of Al-Makkah. Those that became Muslim before the conquest of Al-Makkah. And then those that became Muslim after the conquest of Al-Makkah. Bay'at al-Ridwan. Anas, are you with me, yeah? Those who became Muslim before the conquest of Al-Makkah, and then those that became Muslim after the conquest of Al-Makkah. طيب. Then the Imam Main, or the Imaman, they mention, وَأَنَّ الْعَشَرَةَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّاهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Then after them are those of the 10 that were mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he bore witness for them that they would enter into al-Jannah, ala ma shahida bihi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa qawluhu al-haq, and his statement is the truth. So we just took the 10, and then in this order, they are the best when it comes to the Sahaba ridwanullahi alaihim. And they can't be the same, those that became Muslim before and after. Allah mentions, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. You are not the same, those that fought with the Prophet and they spent with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the conquest, and then those that fought and also, you know, became Muslim after. Naam.
Who was that after that? Is it those Battle of Badr?
Naam. Those that participated in the Battle of Badr. Then the Bay'at al-Ridwan. Then after that, who? Those that became Muslim before the conquest, and then those that became Muslim after the conquest of Al-Makkah. طيب. Then والترحم على جميع أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله والكف عما شجر بينهم. طيب. To seek mercy for Allah subhanahu for all the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and to refrain from discussing the differences that occurred between them. This is very, very important. This is, طيب, I'll mention to you the fatwa of Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali when he was asked about, can I say radiallahu anhu for anyone other than the Sahaba? طيب, you find that the ulama, they, you know, radiallahu anhu linguistically means may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. طيب, where? Wait, which page? Okay, طيب, I understand what you're saying. طيب, the whole خلاصة is in regards to the issue. يعني in reality, Adnan, in reality, رضي الله عنه, it means what? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. It's like a form of dua. But you find that the ulama, the Sahaba have become known for actually being said after they are mentioned. نعم. So the ulama, they say there's no harm in it. You find that sometimes some of the ulama, they say Imam Ahmad radiallahu anhu, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. But it's a term that is normally known to be mentioned after the Sahaba. And it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal that me and you are going to fight over. Naam, it's just like a dua, rahimahullah, radiallahu anhu, but this term is normally specified for. And this is the stance of some of the scholars.
You know, Uthman ibn Talha, his conversion to Islam, I heard two narrations. One that he was with Umar ibn al-As, Khalid ibn Walid when he went to go see his share the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then I read another one that he did it after the conquest of Mecca. Which one's true?
Allahu alam. Yeah? This takes bahth, seerah, and everything. The only way to find out is when my books come from Saudi Arabia, when we have Al-Isaba. And subhanAllah, you know, he's got so many nice stories in there. I remember reading it in Damaj, and obviously we want to know more about every single Sahabi. The resources that we have here is limited. Sometimes I want to look up this, yani maybe read about Anas ibn Malik, read about this Sahabi that a lot of people don't know about, to get more information about him. You've got the internet, but it's very hard, you know. Like these kind of touchy issues of yani the ikhtilafat that happened, the best place to find out is in that book. Very, very big. Every Sahabi he'll mention. It's got information also about some of the tabi'een and etc. Yani when it comes to history, I'm not the best person. His history and things like that, and tariq, and knowing the biographies of certain individuals and things like that, it's because when I was leaving, I only took what I was gonna, you know, able to benefit me, and was also gonna benefit the people, yani straight away. So the books of aqeedah, the books of fiqh, and things like that. Then alhamdulillah, a lot of my books came, but a lot of books didn't come as well. Naam, so this is all like, you know, reference books, reference issues and things like that. May Allah make it easy. Taib. Three things that we need to know about the Sahaba. Three things that we need to believe when it comes to the Sahaba. Honestly, you tired? Huh? Take an early night, inshallah. Three things that we need to know about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim, or that we need to believe when it comes to the Sahaba. And this is the most important thing. This is the most important thing. The first thing, wujub al-taradhi wa tarahum. The compulsoriness, I don't know if that's a word. Is that a word? That's us, the English guys.
Obligation.
The compulsion. Okay. The compulsion or the obligation. Naam. The obligation and the compulsion. Compulsion is more like when you're forcing someone, isn't it? Taib, I think obligation yani goes with this phrase better. The obligation of what? Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with them. And also asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon them. And loving them as well. That's number one. Loving them and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and also have mercy upon them. Anas, ilm is tiring. Wallahi, trust me. Ilm is very, very tiring. And I'll mention the statement of Imam Muqbil again. If I had the ability to pour the knowledge into your mouths, I would have done it. But knowledge doesn't come except with rubbing of the knees on the floor and also, you know, going through hardship and etc. Wallahi, Damaj was hard. Damaj, it wasn't easy. Abdullah, you and I'm handling it. Allah stand. It requires patience. Sometimes, ikhwan, you got no water in your house. No water in your house. You have to maybe walk approximately a mile to get water. Because the water around your pipe, don't think you got automatic 24/7 pipe that's running with water. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, wallahi, the worst time is where you need to have a bath in the morning. Fajr is like 20 minutes. You need to have a bath in the morning. Huh? You got no water in there. You have to go to the masjid. You have to walk. Naam? Sometimes there's no electricity. I used to sit down sometimes in the middle of my room with no light. I've got a little torch like that, looking at a book. Or reading the Quran. If here in Britain that happened, wallahi, inshallah, we'll do the lesson next week. Huh? We'll pick up the book next week and etc. Time, wallahi, time. I knew, one thing that I knew, sooner or later, I'm going to get a call from my dad, get out. Sooner or later, I'm going to have to leave. So I was trying to get everything as much as possible. Even though I didn't stay there much, but I went through so much stuff, trying to take as much as possible. Naam, and wallahi, it was hard. You need to, yani, if you really want something, you need to put effort in. I know so many people, wallahi, they wasted their time. Thinking, inshallah, we're gonna, you know, there's enough time. We're gonna stay here five, six years. We're gonna learn the religion. Huh? We're gonna memorize the Quran then. Then what happened? War took place and Damaj got demolished. It wasn't easy. Sometimes no water. Sometimes no electricity. Sometimes I've got, wa alaykum salam. Sometimes I've got my little torch, what happens? The battery runs out. So I'm using my phone. You know my phone? Don't think you had these torches with the phone and, you know, Samsung and thing. You've got your little ta'ban Nokia phone here that is not even black and white, it's grey. So I'm trying to use the basic light that you have on there to try and get the remaining of the, or to maybe be able to see what you have in the Quran. And it's very, very dangerous. You can lose your eyes. That's why some of the ulama in the past, they lost their eyes because of studying in the night and things like that.
How many years have
you been? Around 3 years. And sometimes the food runs out. Sometimes the food runs out. Especially when, and sometimes you really need to buy gas. You can't heat the water that you have. Sometimes you got water, but you got no gas. Why? Because the gas has been extorted. It has become so expensive. Maybe because the Houthis, the Rafidi, they cut the road. So nothing can come in and nothing can go out. So some guys that don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huh? They extort the gas in order to make money. The gas was maybe, let's just say in pounds, is 10 pounds. Sometimes it would reach 60 pounds. Who can afford that?
Was it a war zone when you were going there?
So, yeah, it's like, you know, they, you know, the Rafid, that they used to cut the road, like you switch off the light and you switch it back off. When they want, they'll cut it. When they want, yani, they'll open the road again. So people would get scared, they'd go back to Sana'a, they'd run away. And but I just became so used to it. It's like a light. You know, when you put on the light, it goes on, off, on, off. It became like that. And sometimes when you don't have the gas, wallahi, you have to bath. You have to wash yourself with what? Cold, freezing, yani, cold water. Sometimes at Fajr time. No. It wasn't easy, but that's what happens, isn't it? Certain people, they came back after 2-3 months. They didn't benefit. Some people, they stayed and they were patient. And I realized those that were patient the most, yeah, they actually came out with, you know, benefit and things like that. And especially what was taking place in Sana'a. Imagine you have on Al Jazeera, the whole internet, huh? You go on the TV, Fulan's dying, Fulan's getting shot and this and that. And your parents are watching it. They're calling you. Muhammad, this is taking place, get out, you need to this and this and that. We don't know what's going to happen. Government, they're gone, they've been taken out and etc. It's not an easy feeling for your parents as well. And may Allah reward those parents who are patient and they allow their children to stay. Because it's not something easy. We don't know what's going on. Why? Because we got no TVs there. We have no internet. And wallahi, you know when you don't have no internet and you don't know what's going on in the world, you feel so much raha. People are killing each other in Sana'a, capital. This is the capital. The airport is being bombarded, is being locked off. We don't know what is going on. People are dying, people are going crazy in Sana'a. We're just there sitting in our halaqat, in our circles of knowledge, and that's it. Parents are calling, don't you know what's going on and this and that? Wallahi, hoyab, awa, we don't know what's going on. You know where? Yeah. I've seen as well, like, one time, my phone, you know my phone? And this is what social networking websites and the phone and some of these technologies do to a person. Makes you so attached. Makes you so attached. I remember I lost my phone for a week. I lost my phone. Akhi, I don't think I felt so much raha for a very long time. Nobody's contacting you. No one's bombarding you. No one's this. Yani, every time a message comes in and this and that. Naam, yani, you're in all these groups and things like that. You know, you just basically get cut off from that which is happening around you. Just get on as if nothing is taking place. Raha, you got rest and everything. Naam. What was he speaking about? Before we went on to cold water and soft water and... Okay, the three things. Tape. Wujub mahabbati ashabi nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa tarahum. وَالتَّرَضِّي طيب. So loving them, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be satisfied with them, and also making dua for them. Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ, those that came after them, they say, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِ الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Those that came after them, they make what dua for those that have preceded them from the brothers in al-Iman. And they say, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And don't put any hatred in our hearts for those that have what? Preceded us in al-Iman. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ رَبَّكَ نَعَمْ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ رَبَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Do not put any hatred in our hearts for those that have believed before us. Right, yeah? Yeah. So is that clear? The first one, yeah? First one. Second one. Al-kaffu amma shajara bainhum. The things that happened between them, you stay out of it. Keep quiet. So the issue may be that happened between Ali radiallahu anhu and also Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, na'am, that might make us think then, why did this sahabi do this? Why did this sahabi? Okay, you don't get involved. Keep quiet and stay out of this. We say that the sahaba, they were mujtahidun. The sahaba, they strived and they were hukama. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكِمُ وَإِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكِمُ فَأَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجَرٌ. If a hakim strives and he is wrong in whatever he strived in, he gets one reward. فَإِذَا أَصَابَ فَلَوْ أَجْرَانِ. And if he is correct, he gets two rewards. Naam? So whatever mistake occurred from the Sahaba, we say, مُجْتَهِد. He is rewarded. If he is wrong, we say he is rewarded. Naam? And we don't get involved. We don't get involved. You keep your mouth closed about what happened regarding the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ خَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. They are a people that have now seen what they've earned. طيب, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who was also a Khalifa sometime, يعني the ulama, they say he was like the fifth Khalifa, نعم, from the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyin, نعم, he mentions that this ayah is regarding the Sahaba. Whatever they've did, they're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're not going to be asked about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim. So why get involved between the issues that happen between them? إذا اجتهد الحاكم, like a judge or ruler.
So does that only apply to the Sahaba?
No. This hadith is applies to the ulama, the judges, who when it comes to the matters of the religion, they strive to get the right answer. Sometimes they're wrong. Yeah? طيب, the third thing is what? حب آل بيت. Loving the close relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahl al-Bayt. And Ahl al-Sunnati wal-Jama'ah, they are in the middle when it comes to this issue. You have from those that love Ahl al-Bayt to an extent, that they've lifted them, stage of Rububiyyah. Some of them have lifted Ali radiallahu anhu, Hassan al-Husayn to such a level where they ascribe some aspects of rububiyyah to them. And I seen this with my own eyes. Where? Around the Kaaba. Forget about anywhere else, around the Kaaba. We are making tawaf. You have the Rafida there, they're saying, Ya Ali, anjina min al-nar, oh Ali, save us from the fire. They're making dua. One Egyptian guy gets so angry and he says, and he shouts at them, say, Ya Allah. Say, Ya Allah, save us from the fire. You know what they say? You know how they replied back and said? They started raising their voice even more. Oh, Ali, save us from the fire. So you have people like this who are on one side of the spectrum. And you have the other side of the spectrum where you have the Nawasib. The first one is what? The Rafida. Ahlul Sunnah are in the middle. The Nawasib who hate and show enmity towards Ahl al-Bayt. And they killed Imam al-Nisa'i. Imam al-Nisa'i. You know Imam al-Nisa'i? Who sometimes narrates the hadith? They killed Imam al-Nisa'i rahimahullahu ta'ala. Why? Because he made a book. He compiled a book, The Virtues of Ahl al-Bayt. Imam al-Nisa'i.
No,
The virtues of Ahl Bayt. Nawasib. They hate the Ahl Bayt, the close relatives, the Nawasib. Nawasib. Tayyib. And you also have Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah when it comes to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim. In regards to loving them and taking a positive stance towards them. Because you have what? The Rafida who curse some of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you have the Khawarij also on the same side. You have the Khawarij, you have the Rafida, who fought against what? The companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You have the Rafida that make takfir of who? Abu Bakr and Umar. They say that they are kuffar. They say that they are kuffar. You have the Khawarij, who what? Made the blood of Uthman ibn Affan and also Ali radiallahu anhu halal. Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim was who? He was one that made the blood of Uthman ibn Affan halal. And when he stabbed him, he said, what? هذا لله. This is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by who? By killing Uthman ibn Affan. Anas, do you want to go, yeah? Tired. And then you have the other side, which is those that have raised the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim to such a level where they have ascribed aspects of Rububiyah to them. Naam. And you could say that the Khawarij are in the same when it comes to the other issues that we was speaking about. Tayyib. Cursing the Sahaba Ridwanullahi, this is the last issue that we're going to take inshallah ta'ala today. Cursing the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was number three. We took the first, second, third. Now the issue pertaining, cursing, and showing any belittling them or anything like that. Huh? For me? La. If you want, we'll go on to till 12 o'clock today.
Inshallah.
Abdullah, are you tired? Huh?
No.
Allah stand. Yeah? Tayyib. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said what? And this shows that, ikhwan, you know, Sheikh Falah Ismail, one time he told us, his teacher Hamad Al-Ansari, when he came to the issue of the Sahaba, he would look up and he would say, Ya Allah, just look like that, the Sahaba, due to the platform and status that they had, how high they are when it comes to their virtue and when it comes to their position and platform in Islam. And then someone comes today and he speaks ill of Abu Bakr and Umar. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told us, لَا تَصُبُّ أَصْحَابَ مُحَمَّدٍ. And pay attention here. Do not insult the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فَإِنَّ لِأَحَدِكُمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبَ مَا أَدْرَكَ مُدَّ أَحَدٍ وَلَا نَصِيفَةٍ. If you are now to spend like Uhud in dahab, in gold, in charity, huh? You wouldn't reach their level, the size of a mud. You know what mud is? Mud's like that. Mud ahadin, well, even half of it, you wouldn't reach their level. That's the platform and that's the status they have in regards to what? In our religion, in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Umar, he mentioned, لا تصبوا أصحاب محمد فالمقام أحدهم ساعة خير من عمل أحدكم عمره. Do not curse the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The fact that they were a companion of the Prophet for 1 hour. Let's just say we had a Sahabi. He met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was a companion for 1 hour and he died. The fact that he was a companion for 1 hour is more better than all of your actions that you would do throughout your whole life. Amazing, isn't it? No matter how much ibadah you have, no matter you are someone that is a qawwamun fil layl, stands up for qiyamul layl all the time, every single day, spends millions and billions of pounds in charity for Allah and he's sincere, abid, zahid, you would never ever reach the position of a sahabi. The sahabi that was least in khair, you would never ever be able to reach him. Even if that sahabi did never ever prayed qiyamul layl, never paid any charity, but he was a sahabi for what? For 1 hour. You would never be able to reach him. Never. No matter how good you are. Pick out the most ahsan wa afdal shakhsin fi hadha al-alam. Pick out the best person from this world that we have and put him against the least of the sahaba in regards to goodness and things like that. There's no comparison.